Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love. Revival love. Supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. We're featuring a very special guest, a friend of mine, Stacy Campbell, a prophetess in the body of Christ, and we're really glad to have you with us today.
Great to be here.
We've been discussing leadership and leadership responsibilities and the day and hour that we're living in, what a important thing it is for leaders to walk uprightly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about that. When a leader sins, it's not just the consequence on that leader. In fact, oftentimes the nation bears far more of the consequence. And so it's a very serious thing how leaders live.
And it's been, you know, tragic in a way in the last 10, 20 years for so many leaders that have high profile positions that are that are known through media and stuff. The whole world kind of knows them or knows of them. And yet they have been exposed as living a double life and living in sin. And it's been hurtful. It
Very
hurts everybody.
Painful. Everybody's hurt and disillusioned. And many people actually even lose their faith. That's what's the most tragic of all. Because there's an expectation that if a leader is godly, then he will uphold in his lifestyle the standard of the Bible. And when he doesn't do that, people get so hurt and so disillusioned that some not only leave the church, they walk away from God.
And oftentimes when the sin has been exposed, there hasn't been really the appropriate discipline or the walking through and the reinstatement of it. So it's been a very confusing couple of decades as we've had to deal with case after case after case. And really, there shouldn't be anything like that going on in the body, but because we are human beings and we make choices that these things happen, and so there needs to be mercy. There needs to be forgiveness. There needs to be healing and restoration for leaders. And I know that some of you that are watching might be in a position where you were leading either maybe a church or a ministry or, you know, maybe you're in a governmental position or a business leader and you had a fall, maybe a moral fall or, you know, you maybe made some wrong decisions that hurt others and you need healing. And that's what this program's about. It's not about condemning. It's about let's look at this situation and see what needs to be done when a leader does fall. How do they get restored? How do they get healed? And so let's talk about that, Stacy. And I think one of the things that we first should cover is the power of the blood of Christ. And I love a prophecy that you've brought forth. In fact, it's on one of your CDs. And it is the power of the blood of Christ and how it can cleanse and purify and save. And so when it comes to a fallen leader, why is it important for the blood of Christ to be really embraced?
If we understand, how much power is in the blood of Christ. He's the propitiation, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There is power in Jesus' death and his blood to forgive every single sin in the entire world, throughout all of history, throughout all the future. That's how much power is in the blood of Christ. And not only that, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. So it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been from, how you've fallen, if you come back believing that it's not of your works, but that the power of the blood of Jesus can completely cleanse you, it will surely cleanse you.
And when we hear, like, let's say in the news about a leader falling into sin, We have to have assurance in ourselves that the blood of Jesus is able to set them free, to cleanse them. We can't doubt that. Yeah. We have to know that he's greater than anything that has happened.
Yeah.
I remember one time when a leader fell, and oh my gosh, there was such a mess.
Pain.
I mean, it was all over the media and, you know, on every news talk show, it was just displayed, and there was all kinds of cynicism and everything. And I thought, but Jesus, your blood is greater than all of that. It can clean up any mess. It can bring any wrong into rightness if we align ourselves properly.
See, all of us struggle. I mean, all of us can be led into temptation. The great Apostle Paul said, the good that I want to do, I don't do. The bad that I don't want to do, I do do. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So, I mean, temptation, it's lurking at all of our doors. And so we have no, I mean, I'm certainly not on this program looking down at anybody. I'm just leaning on the grace of Jesus and the power of the blood for my own life. And so if we have an attitude that when we see somebody struggling, we just pray for them, we call them to repentance, because there is power in Jesus' blood to completely forgive them and fully restore them, just like the Apostle
Woo-hoo,
Paul.
Amen. And that's the good news of the gospel.
Yeah,
we have
good news.
You know, like David, King David, he was guilty of murder and adultery. And I mean, those are really, really heavy things.
So was Moses guilty of murder?
And yet, the blood of Christ, you know, even though he was an Old Testament believer, David was living in the Old Testament, but he lived as a New Testament saint. Mm-hmm. And he trusted the mercy and the goodness of God. Secondly, I think that there needs to be full exposure of the sin in order for real healing to come. And I think a lot of times things are covered up. So a little bit is brought forward, but not the whole thing. So it's like cutting off, you know, the top of a dandelion plant, but leaving the root in the ground. It can come up again.
Exactly.
So I think in order for true healing and restoration, there needs to be a full exposure of the sin to bring everything, the admission
the
of the sin, and
to rebuke
repentance
publicly.
Yep.
That's part of healing. That's part of repentance, a public rebuke. And it's not to shame. It's to hold the standard, say, I missed it, so that restoration can come.
And what I like about that is if it is public, it keeps everyone else
exactly.
in the fear of the Lord as well, because it sets the standard. It's not like, oh, well, so-and-so sinned and nothing really happened and they just carried on and nothing was done and they didn't even admit the whole thing and just part of it was dealt with. You know, when people start thinking that way, then they think, okay, well, I can do the same thing.
Exactly.
But when we see it properly done and the proper exposure, it really makes people think twice about how they're going to live in their own choices. But I know for me, when I make a mistake, if I sin in thought, word, or in deed, if I can bring the whole thing into the light and deal with it, it gives me so much peace.
And freedom.
You know, it's done, finished. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, a broken and a contrite heart.
Mm-hmm. That's a gift from God, you know. When we understand how deeply, like Psalm 51, David really sinned. But he said, against you and you only. Somehow he just knew that the biggest sin was before God himself. Against you and you only have I sinned. But there was such a genuineness, such a depth. And it was like God passed by him in his goodness and caused him to see how painful it was to God first, the body second. It was a gift that God gave him. And if we come before God, even sometimes like we know we did wrong up here, it hasn't quite hit our heart yet here. And this is what I used to do. I'd say, God, I'm asking you for true brokenness so that I really turn from this. Not just remorse because I've been caught or something like that, but like a true brokenness so that I never want to do that again.
Right. And not shifting blame on others either. I was with a leader once who had committed a very dark sin that affected actually a whole nation. And when I was chatting with them, because they're a friend of mine, I love them, you know, I wanted to see them come through. But they were blaming everybody in the whole wide world except themselves. And I thought, where's your brokenness and contrition? You know, yes. God loves you so much, but you can't go and blame everybody else. You have to understand what you have done. There wouldn't be these problems that yes. you're facing with everyone else if you hadn't done what you did. You have to take responsibility and be broken over that.
And I've even seen... men cry over their sins, say they're sorry over their sins, but do exactly the same thing. Almost blame the body of Christ for the wound they inflicted on them, and the body responding in pain, and almost say it's the body's fault. They're not forgiving. They're not this. They're not that. And I say, hey, hold it. Hold it. You know, it's not good enough to just say you're sorry or even weep if you don't actually understand the pain that your sin inflicted on them. Theirs is only a reaction to a primary sin. So we can't blame other people at any level or even look to them to, like, make us feel better. You know, it's really full responsibility mm-hmm. lies with us when we sin. Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who had a large profile ministry, and they sin and were literally taken out, and they went through a process of restoration. That was wonderful how they walked through it and just humbled themselves, walked in brokenness. And to this day, it's years later, but they walk in such humility. And if anyone asks yeah. them, they don't blame anyone else. They take full responsibility for mm-hmm. their actions and even for the consequence that happened in their own life. They're not like saying, oh, I should be back doing this, but the body wouldn't let me. And, mm-hmm. and they said, no, this is just, you know, the consequence of my actions. And I think it's really mm-hmm. healthy to take that kind of responsibility.
It's so clean. And mm-hmm. and even to be asked 5 years after, 10 years after, and to be able to still respond with humility. I mean, that question will come up over and over again. It'll be your entire yeah. life. Yeah. When we fall, that, you know, because people have heard different things at different levels, we can't expect the questions not to be asked.
Exactly.
So that's a beautiful response.
And then restitution and reconciliation, of course, mm-hmm. you know, like if you've hurt people, it needs to be restored. It can't, you know, like what needs to be paid back sort
right.
of thing. What mm-hmm. what can be done?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm an offender, what can I do to help the people come into wholeness who I've offended, whatever
Zacchaeus.
That takes? Yeah.
Zacchaeus paid back everything, even four times as much. Like, I mean, that's real restitution, as much
yeah.
as he could. And, you know, I love what Jim Baker did when he wrote that book, and he titled the title of it, I Was Wrong. Do you know how that healed
yeah.
the soul of America, the believers and the unbelievers alike? It's like, finally, somebody took responsibility, and that was restitution
yes.
in and of itself. That was so
I know,
beautiful.
It's so healing, isn't it? Well, on our second half of our program, Stacey, we want to talk about those who have been hurt by leaders and
mm-hmm.
what God has for them to be healed. But I just want to mention just three more points as we wrap up this
mm-hmm.
session. Is that it's also important for leaders to embrace discipline and the reproof,
right.
to embrace it, not run from it, not resist it, but to embrace it. It's
mm-hmm.
really, it feels good actually to come through
mm-hmm.
a really good disciplinary process. Next is to walk free from the guilt, condemnation, and shame. And I think that if you fall as a leader, you have to deal with that. But you cannot let the devil just condemn you and shame you your life. You're going to have to stand against that and resist it, because God, that's not his heart for you to live in that. And then finally, the restoration to the body, and whenever appropriate, to the position that they've fallen
yes.
from as well. I mean, I think that is just awesome when we can see that level
mm-hmm.
of restoration. It's not always appropriate. I remember one time with a pastor had a church leader, a Sunday school leader, who had molested a young boy in the Sunday school. The parents found out. The parents forgave all of that. But the pastor went and put him back in the position of Sunday school teacher after he was forgiven and everything. I thought, whoa, that's not wise.
No.
That you know, restoration to that position isn't wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we need wisdom, but wherever possible, it's wonderful mm-hmm. to restore position.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Learn how to prepare yourself as the bride of Christ in Patricia King's new book, The Bride Makes Herself Ready. Call 866-980-5464 and order The Bride Makes Herself Ready, or go online at xpministries.com. Order now.
I realize that many of you that are watching this program have actually been hurt by leaders. And I feel really badly about that because I am a leader and I know that I have hurt people, even without wanting to or without even knowing that I did. It wasn't intentional. It's just that sometimes we do things or say things without thinking that actually hurt others. And your pain is worthy to be addressed. God wants you whole. He wants you free. And you know, Stacy, it's true. I think we've all been hurt by leaders. I don't know about you, but I've been hurt by leaders. And and I'm a leader that's hurt other people. And, you know, hurting people hurt others. And it's the way this boat of humanity is, sort of thing.
Yeah. And I just want to say to those people who have been hurt by leaders, I just want to ask your forgiveness. For anybody who I personally know who I've hurt, I ask your forgiveness because I know that I'm not perfect and I have sinned. And on behalf of leaders, for people who have been hurt really severely and deeply, you trusted, you invested, you sowed, you gave you so much of your life and then were hurt, I just want to ask your forgiveness on behalf of leaders and ask that you would forgive us because we sinned.
Amen. And you know, what we want to do right now, Stacy, is to help people with some tools of truth that will help them come into wholeness, because we know so many that are trapped inside of the pain, and like 20 years later, they're even not moving on. Their lives are destroyed because the pain didn't get healed or it didn't get addressed. And so the first point that I think is really valid is that the pain is worthy to be addressed, to know that, okay, if you've been hurt, it is worthy to be addressed. God wants that taken care of.
Yeah, it's like a cycle. First, you become a victim of pain or abuse or leadership. But then, if you don't deal with it in the right way through full forgiveness, the laying down of offense, then what happens is it flips backwards, and the devil wants to get us in this cycle of offense, offended, pain, unforgiveness, bitterness, and it goes on and on. Somebody has to stop the cycle.
Right. And that's the next point, is forgiveness. Like, it's really, really important to forgive. I've heard people say, well, I just can't. I mean, the injustice done to me was so massive that I just cannot forgive. And yet the Bible has some very clear, even in the teachings of Jesus, are very clear about the issue of forgiveness. And in Matthew 18, he shares the parable that says, if you do not forgive, you yourself will be imprisoned in torment.
Yeah, I know. Unforgiveness ultimately hurts us, you know, more even than the other person that we're not forgiving. It is painful to us. So Jesus wants us to free us from all sin, especially the sin of unforgiveness. And I want to say this, that, you know, Paul said, we can do all things. You can forgive. It is possible. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength.
Amen. In Mark 11, verse 26, Jesus said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. That's
scary.
The words of Jesus. That was written in red letters.
Yeah.
That's pretty heavy, but it's like it is the word. And so in God's wisdom, he teaches us how to be free from the pain of others.
Exactly.
Is by releasing forgiveness as he did to us.
Exactly.
And he has forgiven us of all of our sin. Therefore, we can forgive others just like him. The third point is to lay down any offense or judgment that we have in our own heart. So one is to forgive others of their sin, but have we sinned ourselves by taking an offense? And offenses are taken, they're not given.
Right. And, you know, that's a tough one because, you know, when you've been hurt, you want to kind of withdraw, you don't want to be there, and you want to justify mm-hmm. why you're not moving in full forgiveness. And so it's easier to talk about what the other person did all right. the time, you know, keep repeating the sin, taking up the sin, turning other people against them, and rather than completely laying it down, leaving it in the hands of Jesus, Jesus said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." So it's part of our trusting and our faith in God. Let him repay.
And if you maintain an offense, then other people are going to be affected. The poison will spread,
yeah.
and God doesn't want that
no.
because it just ends up hurting more people. The other thing is to examine yourself. To examine yourself, because a lot of times it's easy for us to see how another person hurt us,
yeah.
but what have we done, and has there been any part uh-huh. in it ourselves that fed into it, or maybe even our response? So, I mean, any time that I've been hurt is a great time for me to take my own heart before
exactly.
the Lord and say, "Lord, examine me first and make sure that, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have issues in my own life in this area that need to be addressed."
Yeah, that's a tough one, because, you know, Jesus said, take the beam out of your own eye first. And the problem is, it's easier to look at motes in other people than see beams in our own, because we're just used to that beam being there. It colors our whole worldview. So oftentimes, we actually need to ask others, okay, a blind spot is just that, a blind spot. You have to help
right.
me. Please, if you love me,
be
tell
honest,
me.
Yeah. I try to have those little checks every once in a while mm-hmm. with our staff or family and say, just, mm-hmm. you know, hold me accountable, because it's my desire, mm-hmm. you know, to live pure before the Lord. And I think especially when you're hurt, it's mm-hmm. easy to have yeah. things surface that mm-hmm. actually is a great opportunity to be healed of other things, mm-hmm. you know, when we can see them. The next thing is loving confrontation. You know, if mm-hmm. you've been hurt by a leader, It's a fearful thing to confront a leader on
yeah.
the way that they have hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think it's important for justice to be done that way. It has to be done right, and there's a lot of you know, delicate things that need to be looked at here.
Yeah.
But I think loving confrontation is important once your heart is clear from all anger,
mm-hmm.
once you can communicate the
yeah.
pain freely, and not in a way that you'll be re-injured if they don't see it your way.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that they're able to see how they've hurt you.
That's huge. And I think the key for that, for the confrontation, is the loving part. Because if we go angry, if we go wounded, if we go into that and just want to tell them everything that they did, they won't be able to hear it. I just recently walked through a scenario where I had to go back to a leader and talk to them, and I really said, "God, just take anything out of my heart so that I can speak the truth, but in love." Because when we speak the truth in love,
right.
it's easier to be heard. It's easier to hear the truth. But when we speak the truth in anger, in offense, in bitterness, we can't hear the truth for the angerness or for the anger or the bitterness. So asking God, "God, help me. I'm doing this. I'm confronting for love's sake,
yes.
to redeem them, to restore them, to help them to see maybe what they haven't seen, the pain that they're causing, not just me, but many around them."
Right.
And so it's really important to do.
And it'll be helpful for your own healing if you
totally.
Know that you were able to communicate
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
So irregardless of what they do with it, because a lot of people, their first response is defense. So
exactly.
they'll get self-protective, and sometimes they'll even blame you.
Yeah.
They'll just turn it around and blame you.
You,
and you have to be careful
me.
Not to let that re-injure,
yeah.
but go with the shield of the Lord's love. You're not responsible for their response,
yes.
but you're responsible to, you know, clearly let them know what was done, because it could bring reconciliation, but it will release you.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
So, you know, it's good
and
to get it on the table.
And it's also a thing that, you know, just increases truth all the way around. Even if we don't get the response we want in the loving confrontation, the fact that truth has been put
right.
before them at another level,
right.
it's always helpful.
And then it's in God's hands.
Exactly.
The next one is receiving prayer into the wounded areas. And sometimes we can't receive the healing ourselves. We need someone to pray for us. You know, and I think that's important, to get the help that you need, to get someone to lift off the grief or the
yeah.
the injury to the soul, and get some help from someone that's mature.
Yeah, just We love counseling. Been to lots of counseling. Counseling is critical because we all get hurt. And, you know, go to the skilled people. I often tell prophets that I'm training, you know, it's so important. Counseling, we are prophets, not pastors. We're not that great at shepherding. We need people to speak into our life and help us take the wounds out of our hearts so that we don't prophesy and bring injury.
Amen. Well, we're going to wrap up this point, and then we'll be prophesying over some people in a moment. But I just wanted to also say, do not withdraw. If you've been hurt, don't withdraw. Just keep going. You know, you're going to get over this pain, but don't let the devil keep you from fulfilling your destiny because of a hurt that came from a leader. Just keep going. Next, seek relationships that affirm and confirm you, because there'll be those that can really empower you. And finally, take time to soak in the Lord's affirmation, in his goodness, and soak in his healing love, and just receive from him. And so those are some things that might be able to help our viewers with getting healed. I also have an item that I want to share with you. I have a book called The Bride Makes Herself Ready. And this is a book on how to live uprightly before the Lord. It's for leaders and for those that aren't leaders. It's for those who love Jesus and want to be ready with a pure heart, with an aligned heart, for when he comes to receive his bride. And I believe that there's a lot of truth in here that will set people free. And I also have a teaching, an audio teaching, that I would love for you to have. And it's called Healing for Leaders and Those Who Are Hurt by Them. And, you know, we've only covered a few things on this program right now because our time has been short. But in that teaching, there's a lot more detail and a lot of intricate things, some prayers, some decrees over you. And I would love for you to have that. So we thank you for your support of this program. We can't do it without you. In fact, your financial support is really, really important to us, and we're grateful.
Learn how to prepare yourself as the bride of Christ in Patricia King's new book, The Bride Makes Herself Ready. Call 866-980-5464 and order The Bride Makes Herself Ready, or go online at xpministries.com. Order now.
I want to pray for those of you that have been hurt by leaders. And I'm actually just sensing someone right now that you were called into a ministry. You knew that it was a prophetic ministry. You were even given a place in your church. And then all of a sudden, the leader humiliated you publicly, and it devastated you. You had no idea that they had anything against you. It devastated you, and you have not been able to get back up on your feet. The Lord's giving you power this day during this program to forgive that leader, but also you're going to rise up and get going. You are. Things are going to turn around for you. The Lord loves you. You didn't do anything wrong. It was a misunderstanding, but the Lord says, rise up and keep going.
And I want to also speak to leaders who are in sin. Maybe nobody even knows about it yet. And you've been keeping it secret, but it's just driving you crazy. You know that you're sinning against the Lord and against the body, and you don't want to do, like the Apostle Paul, the good you want to do, you're not doing. I want to tell you that there is hope in God. The first thing is to find someone trustworthy that you can confess your faults one to another with, that you can bring it into the light, that you can expose it. And I feel like the Lord is going to give you the courage today to just confess, bring it out into the light, and trust God that there is full restoration for you, that people will come around you and help you get out of the sin, help you come back to before God, restore your relationship with God, and come back to Jesus.
We want to thank you so much for joining us on today's program. And we want you to remember this one thing above all else, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. In the midst of our high points and our low points, God is always there with the same message, with the same love. And so we thank you not only for being with us, but we are thankful to the Lord for the healing that you are going to have in these coming days, and for the way that you're going to help others heal as well. We'll see you next time. God bless you.